I invite you to stand for the reading of the gospel. It is found in Mark, the third chapter, beginning with verse 20. And the crowd came together again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has unclean spirits.' Then his mother and his brother came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brother and your sister are outside asking for you.' And he replied, 'Who are my mothers and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my mother, my brother, and my sister.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, how many of you remember the TV show Hee-Haw? You know, it was wonderful because you could watch it and you didn't have to think. But somehow or the other, you always ended up laughing at yourself. Now, how many of you have been sitting there looking at the title of this sermon, wondering what on earth it has to do with anything? Virginia's always honest. You remember Hee-Haw? You have to remember my favorite weekly segment. The cast would be sitting around in all kinds of odd places, and the old hound dog would be laying there all hound doggy-like, you know. And then the cast would look into the camera and it would start to sing, "Gloom, despair, on me, deep dark depression, blessed misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me." It was so touching. And then after singing the touching song, the staff would lift up some tragedy that had befallen them. And after they told us about the tragedy, they would once again sing the song. But you know what was amazing? Is that they never changed their expression. They never changed their body position. They never changed anything, and they never offered a solution to the problem. They just sang about the gloom and the despair and the agony that had befallen them that particular week. Now, I really have respect, all respect for the Lord, trust me. But every time I read this morning's gospel lesson, I can't help but think of that song. You know, if it weren't for bad luck, Jesus would have had no luck at all. Really? It was like this little proverbial cloud followed him wherever he went. Today's gospel reading, we find him at the pinnacle of his success. The crowds are growing. Wherever he goes, there are people that want to catch his words or see him, and if they were lucky at all, they'd see him do a miracle. And we're told in today's reading that the crowds had gotten so big that he couldn't even sit down to eat. That's a mighty big crowd. That is an awful lot of teaching and preaching and healing. I mean, Jesus was there. He was doing what he came to earth to do, and people were responding. But anybody who has ever had any measure of success knows that there's a downside to it. Yeah, there's just something about us. We don't like people who succeed more than we do. And so if you're one of the successful ones, there is always somebody out there that wants to get you. And so it was for Jesus. The crowds kept growing. They kept following him. Some of them were catching on to what he was saying. And in the midst of every crowd who was there, the religious authorities. And it wasn't because they wanted to hear what he had to say. They were there to criticize him, to cast doubt on his character, to collect evidence against him. In today's lesson, they couldn't decide if he was an ambassador for the devil or possessed by a demon. They kept going back and forth between the two. Poor Jesus. It was ridiculous what they were saying. And he was in the midst of trying to convince them how ridiculous it really is. Remember his argument? How can a house divided stand against itself? How can a kingdom divided stand against itself? How can the devil, if he's divided, stand against himself? He was making no progress. And then, in the midst of trying to reason with them, somebody comes in and says, "Hey, your mom and your brother's outside." A bad day just got worse. Do any of you remember the opening sentence of the scripture? Anybody catch it? It's amazing how we can read things and it just goes right over our head. And the crowd came together so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." Do you get it? Mary thought her son had taken leave of his senses. This was not a social visit. She was just not in the neighborhood and decided to drop in. She came to take him home like some kind of a truant child. And he knew it. He knew exactly why she was there. He knew why she brought a brother with her, to restrain him if he was really crazy. If he got violent, she'd need help getting him home. And so he looks around. And maybe it's out of frustration that he finally looks at the crowd and he says, "So who is my mother? Who's my brother? Who in this world understands me?" You know, talk about gloom and despair. You know what makes this story so tragic? Jesus wasn't the only one who was hurting. He'd rebuked the scribes, and his words were rather harsh, so they were angry. They didn't really like being made a fool of in front of a group. Can you imagine the embarrassment that they had? And then there was Mary and her other son. How do you think she felt when he refused to come out of that house? When he refused to even speak to her? You know, as a mother, I can tell you that our worst fear is that we're going to lose one of our children. And I'm willing to say in that moment, Mary was afraid that she had lost Jesus. Because he not only refused to come out of the house, he had insinuated that she was no longer his mother. Now we know the rest of the story. And so we hurry on to explain away what Jesus did. We know the rationale behind his harsh words. But on that night over 2,000 years ago, all anyone knew for certain was that Jesus, for whatever reason, seemed unreasonably angry. And as for Jesus, well, have you ever really considered that even a Savior can experience the sting of hurt, the pain of rejection? Have you ever wondered what he felt like standing there, knowing that even his own mother didn't believe in him? The scribes, Mary, Jesus, they all had to decide what to do. Would they hold on to their anger and their hurt? Would they allow it to continue eating away at them like a cancer? Or would they finally get to the place where they could just let it all go? Would their love for each other and for God be stronger than their feelings of hurt and anger? Well, we know the answers, don't we? The scribes couldn't or they wouldn't let go. In the end, their anger became so all-consuming that they felt justified in condemning an innocent man to death on a cross. And who was at the foot of that cross? Whose heart was breaking as she stood there and heard her son say, "Friend, there's my mother. Please take care of her." They had done something about their anger and about their hurt. Mary and Jesus chose wisely. They allowed love and forgiveness to guide their decisions. The scribes, on the other hand, they had decided to react out of a sense of pious indignation. Now, Christians, this world is filled with people who want to hurt us and who are perfectly capable of doing it. They know the words to say. They know the looks to give. And there may be days, weeks, and maybe even months when it seems like everywhere we turn, there is someone who either wants to be our critic or a cynic. And just like Mary and the scribes, and just like Jesus, we're going to have to decide what to do. Will we hold on to it? Or will we let it go? If we choose to be like the scribes, then I guarantee you that anger will eventually consume your life. But if we choose to be like Mary and her son, then even in the midst of pain and doubt, we will allow the power of love, the power of forgiveness, to work within us until that day when we too can look out upon those who have hurt us and whisper, "Oh God, please forgive them." And I guarantee you, in that moment, the victory will be ours. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.